The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Is God losing the battle to save the world from sin and evil? It certainly would seem so, when only one-third of the world's population professes to be Christian. Are the other two-thirds condemned to hellfire when they die? Are they lost forever? As many of our regular viewers know, the Bible teaches us some shocking truths that are totally opposite to what most professing Christians believe concerning life after death. Actually, there's hope for your family and your friends. There's hope for everyone. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames describes the three resurrections. Now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. One of the common religious beliefs is that God is trying to save everyone on earth now. And if they don't become Christian, they'll immediately go to a burning hellfire at death. Is that what actually happens? According to a 1999 survey of those who have, quote, made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, end of quote, 88% believe they will go to heaven when they die. Barna Research Limited determined that 2% believe they will not go to heaven when they die. And 10% said they do not know what will happen to them when they die. My friends, you can really know what happens to every individual at death. The source of knowledge and truth is the Bible. If you have a Bible, follow along with me in this program or write down the references. We also encourage you to write down the address and telephone number that we'll be giving you later on in the program. We'll be offering you a very important free booklet that will answer these major questions about life after death. In a recent program on the subject of life after death, we saw some amazing truths that are totally contrary to what so many believe. Shocking as it may seem, the Bible teaches that no one goes to heaven or a burning hell fire immediately after death. The truth is, no one will ever live again until the resurrection. The dead remain dead until one of the three general resurrections. On today's program, we'll examine what the Bible teaches about the three resurrections. Let's review what happens to every person who dies. If you have a Bible, open it to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15 is referred to as the resurrection chapter. Let's start in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12. Here the Apostle Paul is testifying to the truth of the resurrection. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. In other words, the resurrection is the hope of a Christian. If there's no resurrection, we absolutely have no hope. Paul repeats this important point in verse 16. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Paul is saying, if there is no resurrection, then even the saints would be dead forever. They would have perished, as Paul wrote. But the good news is, there is a resurrection from the dead. Now notice another important point. How does Scripture refer to Christians who have died? In 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 18, the Apostle Paul refers to those who have died as those who have fallen asleep in Christ. As we pointed out the last time, the dead are dead. It tells us back in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and verse 5, a very important truth, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5, for the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. The dead are totally unconscious. They do not experience pain. They do not experience the passing of time. Even the faithful saints, genuine Christians, remain in the grave until the resurrection at the return of Christ. Jesus himself spoke of death as a sleep. Lazarus of Bethany was ill and died before Jesus arrived. When he learned of the news of Lazarus' sickness, Jesus told his disciples this in John 11 and verse 11. Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. My friends, do we believe our Savior? Lazarus was dead. He was not up in heaven or in a burning hell fire. Jesus said, Lazarus sleeps. Lazarus is dead. Jesus then resurrected Lazarus from the dead to live out his natural life. Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days, and Jesus brought him back to life. As Jesus proclaimed in chapter 11 and verse 25 of the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. The resurrection is the hope of a Christian. If one already went to heaven at death, there'd be no need for a resurrection. One is not born with immortality or eternal life. Believe it or not, the Bible teaches that a soul can die. The soul is not immortal. Let's review briefly what will be shocking to many. Turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel 18 and verse 4. Ezekiel 18, verse 4. The soul who sins shall die. This is repeated again in verse 20. The soul who sins shall die. The Hebrew word for soul is nephesh, which means physical or natural life. Souls can die. No human has an immortal soul. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53, we learn at the resurrection, this mortal must put on immortality. My friends, you and I are mortal. Throughout the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, there are many examples of individual resurrections from the dead to physical life. But the most important resurrection is to immortality. There are three general resurrections described in the Bible. The first general resurrection from the dead is to immortal life. This is the resurrection that takes place when Christ returns. God will give faithful Christians the awesome gift of eternal, immortal life at that time. The Bible shows there's an order to the resurrections. Christ's individual resurrection is an example for all of us. But when does the first general resurrection take place? Turn back to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 21. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Now read that verse again. When are the dead Christians made alive? When they die? No. Those in Christ, the saints, faithful Christians, will be made alive, quote, at his coming, end of quote. Each in his order, as the Apostle Paul wrote. So the first resurrection takes place at the second coming of Christ. That hasn't happened yet. Will you be in that resurrection? If you genuinely belong to Jesus Christ at that time, you will be in the first general resurrection. It's called a better resurrection in Hebrews 11 and verse 35. Why? Because it's a resurrection to eternal life and immortality. The Apostle Paul gives us a sense of the glory, the power, the radiance of those in the first resurrection. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The saints of the resurrection will be glorified and immortalized. Again, what does the Bible say about immortality? Do you already have an immortal soul? Or is immortality a gift of God at the resurrection? The Scriptures tell us Christ returns at the sound of a trumpet, the seventh or last trumpet mentioned in Revelation 11 and verse 15. It's then that the dead in Christ, those who sleep in Jesus, will receive the gift of immortality. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Victory over death takes place at this great resurrection of the saints. Faithful Christians remain in the grave until the second coming of Christ at the last trumpet. The first resurrection is the glorious time when this mortal must put on immortality. The first general resurrection from the dead, then, is for all faithful Christians. It's a transformation to glory, immortality, and eternal life. It's the time when the saints, faithful Christians, will inherit the earth and rule with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. Now, what about the second and third resurrections? What does the Bible have to say about them? We'll answer that question in the second half of our program. But first, I'd like to offer you an amazing free booklet entitled, Is This the Only Day of Salvation? What will happen to the billions of human beings who have never known the true God, who've never accepted any form of Christianity? Are they doomed to burn in hell forever? The surprising truth of your Bible gives hope for the masses of humanity and some of your relatives and friends whom you maybe thought were lost forever. Be sure to write today for your free copy, or pick up the telephone right now and request your free eye-opening booklet, Is This the Only Day of Salvation?
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
In the first part of our program, we saw that death is an enemy of every human being. But we also saw there's an order of resurrections, and that the Bible describes death as a sleep. The truth is, faithful Christians will not be given eternal life until Christ returns at the first general resurrection. They don't go to heaven when they die. They remain dead until the resurrection. In the resurrection, they'll rule here on earth with Christ as kings and priests, as it tells us in Revelation 5 and verse 10. You know, the Bible nowhere promises that faithful Christians go to heaven when they die. That may be a shock to some of you, but read what your own Bible says. Turn to John 3 and verse 13. John 3 and verse 13. Notice this amazing statement. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Your Bible makes it very plain. Only Christ has ascended to heaven. Now, here's another example that you need to read about, and that's in Acts, the second chapter. The Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, spoke about King David, a man after God's own heart. In Acts 2, in verse 29, the Apostle Peter spoke to thousands assembled in Jerusalem. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Then in verse 34, Peter was inspired to state plainly, for David did not ascend into the heavens. As we can see from the Scriptures, faithful Christians don't go to heaven when they die. They sleep in the grave, as both Jesus and the Apostle Paul stated. But what about all those who never converted to Christianity? Are they burning in hell right now? No, they are not. As we've already seen, everyone who has died, with the exception of Jesus Christ, is still dead. So what about the billions of humans who never converted to Christianity? They will be in the second general resurrection. This is a resurrection to judgment. and it's a resurrection to physical life. It's also referred to as the White Throne Judgment. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation, the 20th chapter. The 19th chapter describes the return of Jesus Christ. He and his heavenly armies conquer all the modern military might of the world who fight against him at his coming. Then Satan the devil is bound up for 1,000 years. The real millennium, the real 1,000-year reign of Christ, the King of Kings, begins with his return to this earth. God will not allow Satan to deceive the nations for 1,000 years while the kingdom of God rules on this earth. The glorified, resurrected, immortalized saints will rule with Christ here on this earth for 1,000 years. Revelation 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Then we read a parenthetical statement. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The first resurrection, as it's called, is for the saints, faithful Christians. But if there's a first resurrection, there's also a second resurrection. This is the great resurrection, the general resurrection to judgment. These are the rest of the dead, who lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Jesus spoke about this resurrection in John, the 5th chapter. John 5, verse 28. And Jesus said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, and come forth, those who have done good, to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, to the resurrection of condemnation, or judgment, as other translations have it." The famous historian Edward Gibbon wrote about the beliefs of the first century Christian church. As he points out, they believed in the millennial rule of Christ on earth and the great general resurrection after the millennium. Here's what he wrote in The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. Quote, "The ancient and popular doctrine of the millennium was intimately connected with the second coming of Christ. As the works of the creation had been finished in 6 days, their duration in their present state, according to a tradition that was attributed to the prophet Elijah, was fixed to 6,000 years. Compare with Psalm 90, verse 4, and 2 Peter 3, verse 8. By the same analogy, it was inferred that this long period of labor and contention, which was now almost elapsed, would be succeeded by a joyful Sabbath of 1,000 years. Compare with Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, and Revelation 20, verse 6. And that Christ, with the triumphant band of the saints and the elect who had escaped death or who had been miraculously revived, would reign upon earth till the time appointed for the last and general resurrection." Yes, as Gibbon points out, the first century church, the apostolic church, believed the saints would rule with Christ for 1,000 years. Then the general resurrection to judgment would take place. The resurrection to life is the first resurrection. The resurrection to judgment is the second resurrection. That's when billions of so-called unsaved humans will face judgment. As it states in Hebrews 9, verse 27, "It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." But what kind of a judgment will it be? Is there hope for the billions of humans who were never converted to Christianity? Yes, there is hope. Revelation, the 20th chapter, starting with verse 11. Revelation 20 and verse 11. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God." This is the second general resurrection. "And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." The good news is that the books, or the Bible, are open to the understanding of the masses of people for the first time. Remember the valley of dry bones described by the prophet Ezekiel? This resurrection, described in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, also takes place at the second resurrection. The book of life is finally open to them. This will be their first opportunity to really learn the truth. This is not a second chance, as some would like to call it. All human beings will be held accountable for their actions and thoughts. But this will be their first time to see their sins, to the extent they'll have the opportunity to repent of their sins and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Others in the resurrection will include those who were victims of accidents, oppression, and genocide. They will be healed and given a chance for a peaceful and prosperous life and a genuine opportunity for eternal life and glory. It's God's purpose to give everyone who has ever lived a genuine opportunity, a fair chance to be a part of His divine family for all eternity. He's made that purpose plain. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, starting in verse 9, we read, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Sadly, there'll be individuals who will reject God's grace and salvation. They'll refuse to repent of their sins and accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But God will not allow human beings to suffer for all eternity in a state of bitterness, hate, or rebellion. He'll destroy them in the lake of fire. On the other hand, God is offering those who remain faithful to Him through Jesus Christ the inheritance of the universe, or, as the Scriptures refer to it, all things. But for those who will not submit to the loving authority of God, there's a fearful punishment. Notice this sobering statement in Revelation 21 and verse 7. Revelation 21, verse 7. "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." The third resurrection is to eternal punishment and destruction in the lake of fire. God is just. He states in Hebrews 10, verse 30, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." All the unrepentant evil rebels will feel the wrath of God. They'll receive the ultimate punishment. Finally, let's turn to Revelation 20 and verse 14. Revelation 20 and verse 14. Let's see what happens at the end of the White Throne Judgment period. "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The wicked will be tormented as they stand before the lake of fire. "And all the wicked will be cast into the lake of fire and burned up. They will live no longer." As it tells us in Romans 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death," that is, eternal death, "but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." God has a wonderful and awesome plan for all humanity. There is a devil who's trying to destroy the earth, God's plan, and all human beings from ever being a part of God's divine family. But God's plan is sure and wonderful. Everyone, including those who many mistakenly believe are lost forever, will have a genuine opportunity to respond to the true gospel and be a part of God's family for all eternity. The truth about the White Throne Judgment is an awesome part of God's plan for billions of human beings. According to the traditional religious teaching, those billions will burn in hellfire even though they never had a genuine opportunity for salvation. That's false. But the real hope of all humans is the resurrection. You need to study this important truth in your own Bible. And to help you in your study, I'd like to offer you an amazing free booklet entitled, "Is This the Only Day of Salvation? The Surprising Truth of Your Bible Gives Hope for Billions of Humans, and for some of your relatives and friends whom you may be thought were lost forever." This is an extremely important topic you need to understand and prove to yourself. Be sure to write today for your free copy, or just pick up the telephone right now and request your free eye-opening booklet, "Is This the Only Day of Salvation?"
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
The fact of the resurrection is one of the most inspiring truths in the Bible. The resurrection is our hope and it's our destiny. But we need to seek it as the Apostle Paul did. Turn to Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. The Apostle Paul spoke about his relationship with Christ and how he looked forward to the resurrection. Verse 10 of Philippians 3, "...that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." That is the goal of a Christian, to be in the resurrection when Christ returns. Paul goes on to describe the miraculous change that takes place in the body at that resurrection time. Philippians 3, verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body," or in the King James, vile body, "that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Let's look forward to the glorious resurrection and the coming kingdom of God. Be sure to join us every week on Tomorrow's World. We want to help you understand the answers to the most important questions of life. The truth of the Bible is awe-inspiring and exciting. Dr. Meredith and I will be discussing Bible prophecy, principles of successful living, and the great plan and purpose the Creator has for all of us. So be sure to join us again next week, right here, at this same time.
The informative literature offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. That address again is www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.